Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we'll hear the Gospel from St. Luke and talk about responding to the gift of salvation. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
A special convalidation seminar for civilly married couples are those who were married outside of the Catholic Church and wish to have their marriage convalidated is set for Saturday, October 12th, in the Parish Hall of St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road. For complete information, contact Deacon Stephen Nolte, Director of the Office of Family Life for the Diocese of Corpus Christi at 882-6191. You must be pre-registered to attend, and the deadline for registration is October 7th. Again, the number to call is 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How about you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good. You know, this tomorrow starts school for the Corpus Christi Independent School District, and I know some of our parochial schools have already been in class for a couple of weeks.
Yes,
so
right.
I guess this Sunday marks the official end of summer.
Right. We'll certainly declare that today, okay?
We will.
So everybody enjoy this last day before school starts for many of you.
That's right, and get to bed early. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through the towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you in reply, I do not know where you come from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And the people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some who are first who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this was a very interesting reading because I guess we assume that if we do good things, we'll automatically make it to salvation. But Jesus is saying a few different things when somebody asked him, will only a few be saved? And then his answer about the narrow gate.
Well, you know, we've been through this so many times in the history of the church and the history of religion, and where we think a few pious practices, where we think our money will get us somewhere in front of God. And, you know, we see even in the Old Testament, your sacrifices and holocausts, you know, they don't really mean much, but right. A contrite heart, which means I want you. I don't want what you have so much. I don't want you to think that you can pay your way in or pray your way in. I want you. And so I think this is what Jesus is. I always love it when he's asked a question directly. He never gives a direct answer.
Well, he doesn't give a direct answer.
He just says the narrow gate. Well, the narrow gate is the gospel, you know, is his way. You know, when you look at the life of Jesus, it was it's not the way that everybody else took. Many of us will try to avoid any kind of suffering in life. Many of us will avoid even reaching out to those who call out for help. There's so many things that are in contrast to what our human nature by itself wants. And so when we are baptized, when we are a part of Christ, we enter into that life of grace. And it's grace that transforms our human nature into being like Christ, being Christ. And so he lived and went through the narrow gate, the gate of God's will, the gate of the word, the gate of truth, which at times stands in opposition to the world around us. Never to the fact that we don't want to contribute. In fact, the follower of Christ, the disciple, the people of faith need to contribute to the world, not to stand in opposition to it. This is another thing that Pope Francis spoke a lot about in Rio de Janeiro, both with politicians and with others, but also to the youth. You have to create a world of dialogue. We have to talk to each other.
Right.
But you have to enter through the narrow gate. But just because you're entering through the narrow gate does not matter. That does not make you any better than anybody else. You see that this is what gives you life. This is what gives you the energy of life to be able to dialogue. You know, if we don't know who we are, then our dialogue is not going to go anywhere. We're going to just flip-flop with every idea that comes along. And unfortunately, we live in a flip-flop society. You know, whatever mm-hmm. sounds good, whatever somebody that I respect says, or whatever, you know, the latest law of the land is, et cetera, this must be the truth. Well, it's not. It is not. Ours is the narrow gate, and we have to make a choice. I think, you know, for any of us, we have to make a choice. You cannot serve God and mammon. And for us, it is the narrow gate, which is the gate of the Word of God, which is the gate is Jesus Christ. It is the will of God. And I have to live my life that way. And so Jesus is not going to say, well, he's saved, she's not, she is saved, he's not. He's not going to count us off like that. It's up to us. This is the thing of free will and of human nature imbued with the grace of God. You have to do your part. Again, not that you earn it or you're storing up, you know, points.
Bonus points.
Yeah. It's not the
points
American Airlines, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, points to get to the next level of the seating or whatever. But it's a way of life. And the thing of the narrow gate in following Jesus, following the will of God in every moment, it produces life in us, and it's something has to be experienced. I mean, we can debate it, you know, at an intellectual level, yes, but you have to experience it. And once we experience going through the narrow gate, which is Jesus himself, mm-hmm. It gives nothing but life to ourselves. And so it's really not Jesus who's counting the sheep left and right. It's we who do not respond and we who try to respond to the best that we can. Mm-hmm. That this is really the determining factor for this.
Well, and I find personally that it gives clarity, because when you do listen to the Gospels and you know, as we're having a conversation, when something comes up for a decision, you don't have to think twice. You just know exactly what's the right thing to do.
Well, it's called conscience. Right. You know, when you enter through the narrow gate, mm-hmm. which is adhering to the will of God, adhering to the gospel of Jesus Christ, listening to the teaching of the church, especially nowadays in the area of morality, mm-hmm. You know that you're building your conscience, and you know what's right and wrong. I know what's right and wrong. I know when I've sinned. And so if we're not doing that, we're going to hear ourselves saying, well, I don't know what my sins are. Well, you don't know yourself then, and you don't know certainly what that narrow gate is. Even though we may sit in church every day, or we go to Mass every Sunday, or we read the Scripture every day, whatever it is, but do you really, really mm-hmm. know him? Because if you, I think, ultimately can't distinguish between right and wrong, then the conscience is not being built, mm-hmm. and the narrow gate is probably too wide. The gate is too wide, not narrow enough
right.
in our life.
Right.
You know, when I was preparing and reading this, I was thinking of, you know, throughout the history of the church, in the spiritual history, there's been so many images used in describing what this way, this life is about. And it's the journey, you know, and even referring to the journey through the desert of the people of Israel coming through that whole struggle of journeying and depending on God and calling out to God and receiving God's help, etc. That's an image for us today, even of life, climbing the mountain, climbing the ladder, mm-hmm. the ascent to Mount Carmel of St. John of the Cross. So all of this is that life's a journey and it's a motion, it's a mm-hmm. movement. So oftentimes, you know, we live life on one level, which is to go to work and function in human society, but we leave the whole spiritual realm to Sunday for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And we're not climbing anything that way. We're not ascending. And we're not staying in touch with the Word of God, with Christ, etc. And so so many have said, whoever does not move forward moves backwards, if we're not moving forward. And so the real journey here for us, especially in the modern world, is to form ourselves in the truth of Jesus and have that apply to the way we live daily life, the way we work, the way we relate to other people, the way that we vote, the way we get involved in communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Without that, I mean, we live in chaos. We live in chaos. Mm-hmm. So it's Jesus is not going to answer those questions directly, will you be saved? The narrow gate, that's the road. That's the road he invites us to.
Well, when you talked about that we need to do the Word, listen to the Word of God every day and what we do in our work. I remember my father many years ago used to say, you'd have somebody up at the church preaching the good word, and then during the week he was stealing from everybody.
Well, yeah.
But go to church on Sunday up right. there, yeah. but stealing from everybody during the week.
Well, unfortunately, not to that degree, but certainly right. there's a little bit of that in all of us.
And this is, that's right.
This is where confession and self-examination, depending more on God's grace, comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing of journey, ascent, climbing. It's all there. It's never
right.
complete. You know, I remember just as we're getting toward the end here, many years ago when I was a young priest in Austin, a man called. He wanted to come see me. Well, he wasn't Catholic, actually. And so we sat and talked, and he said where he went to church that they said, you know, that if you accept Jesus Christ, that, you know, you're saved, period. You're saved, period. So he said, but I'm struggling with that because I find myself doing what I was doing before. And for the reason that I went to, you know, to be baptized again, of course, you did a rebaptism, but that's another story. But it's like the human nature is still there. So can I be saved if I'm still sinning the way I was before? So, I mean, it just says to us that mm-hmm. narrow gate is a requirement that we have to change our life. We have mm-hmm. to cooperate with God's grace, climb the mountain, say no to our base instincts at times, and really conform our life to Christ. And that's the narrow gate that we're invited to.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on responding to the gift of salvation. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The date for the 24th Annual Celebration for Life Banquet is set for 6:30 p.m. Thursday, September 5th at the Ortiz Center. Benefiting Hope House, the Gabriel Project, and Birthright, the grand evening of fine dining, music, prayer, and Christian fellowship will feature Father Sheenan Bouquet, President of Human Life International, as guest speaker. This huge fundraiser will help promote the sanctity and dignity of human life through an ecumenical gathering of community members that support the less fortunate and in need, especially the unborn, abandoned mothers, the homeless, and women in crisis pregnancy situations. For sponsorship information or to purchase table or individual tickets, please call Hope House at 852-2273.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, the second part of this gospel talks about the master of the house and There's a locked door and someone's knocking on the door and he says, I don't know who you are. And when you think of that visual, that's pretty distressing to think you're knocking on the door of somebody you know and they're saying, I don't know who you are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's when you're far away from me, I don't recognize you. I remember when I came back from the seminary after 2 years, I'd been in Rome for 2 years studying to be a priest, and we came home after 2 years for the summer, and my youngest brother had kind of grown up a little bit, mm-hmm. and I remembered him smaller, you know.
Right.
And of course, this is before all the controls, and you had to be on the other side of the partition and everything. So he came right up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said my name, you know, with a deep voice. Well, I remember this little squeaky voice, you know. And I turned around and I go, oh, my gosh. You know, when you don't associate with someone for 2 years,
right.
And they change, you change, you don't recognize them. And I think in a certain way, that's what Jesus is saying here. If you're not part of my life, I don't recognize. How can I recognize you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you were in our streets. We hobnobbed with you for a little bit. We listened to you. Yeah, but you didn't associate with me.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't come to me. You didn't stay with me. You didn't do what I told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, what he's saying here. I don't recognize you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only recognize what is mine. And this is, as you said, this is a tragic statement.
Mm-hmm.
When at the end, we want the highest, but we're not willing to pay for it. And I don't mean financially or anything.
Right.
But going back to the narrow door, there's the price. It's following Jesus without reserve,
mm-hmm.
in whatever vocation we are. I'm not, you know, we're, mm-hmm. this is kind of the fallacy over the years that you had to, you know, sell everything, be a missionary, go to the farthest ends of the world to be holy. Well, no, we can be holy, you know, in our where we are today, you and your life and vocation, mm-hmm. me and mine. But we have to conform ourselves to the gospel and conform our hearts to the love for Jesus Christ. I think one of the most dangerous things about the Christian life is mediocrity.
That's true.
And I think that's what he's saying here. Yeah, you may have sat with me in the synagogue. Yeah, you may have listened to my sermons, you know, on the mound. You may have done, but did you do anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
And so are you just resting on your own merits
and
laurels and saying, you know, I did all this stuff? Well, it doesn't impress him because he was on mission to bring life, to bring love, to bring forgiveness, reconciliation, all those things that are really, really difficult for us at times to accomplish. That's what he wants of us. And we have to be bold. We have to be courageous. It's another word that the Pope used throughout Rio. Be mm-hmm. courageous. Step beyond yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in areas of reconciling with people. You know, tear down that pride. Pride, you know, if we continue, if we have that sense of pride, then our mediocrity will stay there. The thing that will tear down mediocrity in life is ridding ourselves of human pride,
mm-hmm.
which then opens the door to relationships with other people. But we lock ourselves in so very often. So just associating with Jesus, whether it's prayer, listening, whatever, is not enough. We have to put that into action. And over time, you know, we have to have the mind of Christ so that
mm-hmm.
those situations that we're in at times call us to action, call us to do something to help our neighbor, to identify with the poor, to identify with those who are hurting, or to identify with those who don't know the truth of Christ, and to do something about it.
I might say maybe it might call us to inaction if we were thinking of doing something.
Right.
Not as
sure.
Might revenge or retribution. Something
sure.
occurred to me, and I can't even remember the specifics, and somebody said, why didn't you do something about it? And I said, well, that person gets up to the pearly gates, he'll have to explain to St. Peter
yeah.
why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we move on.
Yeah. you know, as missionary, we don't write people off either. But I mean, I think, right. I know what you're saying, but I think we don't write people off. We just try to be there, to be their friend.
Exactly.
And do what we can.
And not hold grudges.
No, exactly, exactly. And I've always found, you know, one thing that's always amazed me with the lives of the saints and some that I would say that I've been associated with, people who are now deceased and their causes for beatification and things are in process, is you'd wonder, and they would, you know, one in particular that I'm thinking of, and she would often talk about going, you know, the value of confession. You go like, well, someone like that, what in the world?
Do they have to confess?
Would you confess? But I realize that the closer you get to Christ, to the perfection, the more you see your own sins. So if we stay mediocre, if we stay far away, or if we just kind of circumvent the whole truth of Christ, etc., then, yeah, I'm satisfied where I am. But when we see, you know, what every detail that Jesus calls us to, none of us are there yet. And so that, yes, there is sin, mm-hmm. even if it's minute, if we're mm-hmm. beyond the, you know, the major sins of morality and things like that, but we're trying to really climb that ladder mm-hmm. Toward greater perfection, then yes, the splinter in the eye is, you know, it may seem small, but it's there, and we need to remove that. Yeah, so we need to always realize it's the narrow gate is not the gate of mediocrity. It's the gate of total engagement for this. I wanted to, as we conclude here, and I don't want this to be, I used this last Sunday, actually, or 2 Sundays ago, actually, at the cathedral as part of the homily, because it was talking about doing God's will and Abraham, how Abraham was so obedient to God's will in leaving his homeland and traveling to the land of milk and honey, and then even ultimately asking to be sacrificed his son Isaac, and how Abraham so obediently adhered to God's will, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and followed God's plan, you know, not his. Mm-hmm. And I think part of our difficulty is the individualism, is the society of individualism that we live in. It's my world, it's my, and no, it's responding. Faith is about responding to the one who loves us and calls us. So anyway, I want to use this little analogy, and I don't want people to get caught up in the funny things of the story, but I think it certainly said something to me. I was returning on the flight, and I have enough points on American Airlines that I thought, well, I could at least ask for an upgrade, you know. And it was packed. And so the lady, when I got up to the counter in San Paulo, she said, well, it's pretty full, but if you want to put your name, but I can tell you, you're not going to get on. I said, well, forget it. I've already got a seat assigned. So as I was getting onto the plane, it was a 777, which is that new one that has little compartments in business. You have yes. your own little world. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, my gosh, that would sure be nice. You know, you've got all set up there in your own little, almost like your own little apartment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, you know, that's not what's in plan for me tonight. Mm-hmm. So I go back to my seat, and I call this little experience 22H. You know, mm-hmm. my seat was 22H, and I get my things above in the rack and kind of get ready with my earphones, and everything's ready. And this gentleman comes in, and he's a bit elderly and quite large, and has a cane and a suitcase on his rollers, and then a bag hanging off the rolling bag. It was just kind of
a lot going on.
Yes. And trying to get things up in the compartment, and the cane was flying and people were ducking. It was just kind of a comedy scene, and I don't know where he's going to sit yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So he kind of looks at me and says, I'm in that seat there, which was G, next to me, mm-hmm. on the inside. So he's struggling in. He kind of looked at me and said, would you mind changing seats? I had the aisle, and I really would prefer not to, you know. So he was groaning, and so he gets in, and with his cane and all this stuff. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be bad inside or outside, whatever. So I said, you know, and I think that's where, you know, it was like the Lord saying, you know, mm-hmm. this guy's in more difficulty than you are as far as getting in and out. So I said, you know, I'll change seats with you. He said, oh, thank you. He was from Brazil. He spoke a bit of English. So we switched seats, and I go on the inside. He said, I'm really, really thankful. I said, that's fine. We'll be okay. So then on the other side, this probably about 16-year-old gets in, and, you know, he's a bit bigger than I am. And he's kind of, you know, takes up the whole room on the other side. So I'm kind of getting, I can feel I'm getting kind of squeezed in there. And after we take off, the girl in front, and this young kid's also from Brazil, or two Brazilians, and the girl in front of me, just right after we took off, which you're not supposed to do right away, but she throws her seat all the way back. It was like almost in my nose or my face.
And there went your knees.
Oh, my. So I'm really locked in there, you know, and you're thinking, you know, why? You know, you think, why me? And it's kind of, you go in, it's just, it's to all of us, we go into ourselves, why me? And then I realized these are neighbors that I have, and I chose to go inside to help him, to love him. And so through the night, the man on the other, the older man, his elbow was a little stiff, so he's kind of on my side, kind of squeezing me. And the kid, of course, he's 16-year-old, so he's sleeping wherever he can get a pillow. Well, my shoulder became his pillow with his neck pillow, and he keeps getting further and further into my to my space, and she's still back. And it was just one of those things. You're laughing, you're crying, you're praying, you know, and you think, you know, Lord. And I just thought, okay, Lord, this is me. But the analogy is, for me, as I thought about it more, okay, there's the comfort zone up there in business class. Boy, would I have loved to have been there and have a life of comfort. Mm-hmm. There was the chair that I chose, because I chose the seat online before mm-hmm. we left. And then there's the one, through my own action, but that God chose for me. Mm-hmm. And the one God chose for me was not the best physically.
For a very long flight.
For 10 hours. Mm-hmm. But it did bring out of me something, you know, to be at peace. Time, you know, this is temporal. Mm-hmm. Time passes. The main thing is to love these people, even though I did have to push the kid off a couple of times and get him back on his own seat. But you know, I think it's for me, it's been an analogy of life. Do we want, speaking of the narrow gate here, mm-hmm. do we want a life that's just wide open and easy and we do everything the way we want it? Or do we take what God gives us and make mm-hmm. the best out of it? That's where a life of faith is. It was really, for me, an analogy of where's your faith? Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, that whole next day, or all last that weekend, there was such a joy. You know, it was mm-hmm. not something exuberant, but I just felt at peace in that joy. And I think that's, you know, even at the last part, for those who will be last, they'll be first, and the first will be last. You know, we're in the hands of God, and mm-hmm. it's important that each one of us adhere to the beauty of God in our life and let Him direct our lives and teach us what He needs to teach us and respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. So I hope this has helped.
That's a wonderful analogy. Thank you, Bishop. So if you could close our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Oh God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of the world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.